Glory to God. So, are you to Bibles? So we're looking at when the believers get to pray, right? Right? Is that the topic? Okay. When the believers get on praying. Okay, this is the seventh session. Okay, seventh. Right? Session seven? Over, right? Yeah, okay. Glory to God. So let's say a few things this evening and the fast. So let's sort of all start with a few things we said earlier. Hold your hands together and say these words after me. Our Father,
in the name of Jesus, this evening we receive your word with its clarity and its simplicity. Our eyes view Jesus,
even as the Jesus in him. He's glorified, glorified. Amen. Glory to God. So we said a vital part of our Christian work as disciples, students, diligent students of the word, is that of what? Is that of observation, right? Okay, is that of observation. That was learned to observe well.
Observation is key as a believer. Observe that we are looking at just the past, which is observing how the epistles, the writer of the New Testament book will reference the Old Testament. Right? You must be observant as a believer. Observe, you observe how words are used.
Amen. A good observer of scriptures will stay with where will stay within the boundaries of scriptures. There's such a thing as the boundaries of scriptures. And a good student will learn to mind the boundaries of scriptures.
Hallelujah. Now you have to ask yourself how, that's what we focus on, how the apostles use the Old Testament books. Now, we said they did not describe the Old Testament books as something that is going away.
So that doctrine is a doctrine of abandoning the Old Testament books, right? It's graduating. Hallelujah. When you say it's old, it's gone.
Now it's graduating. It's gone. First of all, we said the New Testament is a replacement of the Old Testament. Listen. And let me tell you where it's going to.
Now, it's a replacement. So the Old Testament is gone. You don't need it. So, remember, the context of the New Testament books is where? Is where? The Old Testament. So that means, if I handle the New Testament without the context of the Old Testament, what am I doing? I can easily place the New Testament or use the New Testament in such a way that would not be the intention of the writers of the New Testament, because where they are reading from is the Old Testament books. Did you see that? Amen. Just as I said, if you take a scripture out of context, you can give it any meaning. If you take the New Testament books out of the context of the Old Testament book, you can give it any meaning. Hallelujah. It is that foreign. Now, here's where it's graduating to. Now, there are now some people who are now thinking, listen, because the Old Testament book is gone, according to them, it's gone. We are sticking to the New Testament. Now they are now graduating from there. Amen. Some people are now saying, no. Paul didn't get it right. Remember, that was how they dealt with the Old Testament books. It starts with, the writers of the Old Testament didn't have a revelation about God. This is that there was no differentiation between heaven and earth. This is that you're already talking them down. Amen. Now, people are now saying, no, Paul didn't get it right. Please, no, they missed it. It's graduating. Amen? It's graduating. Very soon, I just hear it. In fact, it's already up. Some people are now saying, no, you don't listen to Paul. You see that? You don't listen. You are graduating. They are pushing their own agenda because they are trying to situate their own theology. Right? Now I hear people say, no, you can't find this one in scripture. The glory of the latter house shall exceed that of the former. We are the latter house. We are the latter house. So that means our glory is more than Paul. So since Paul does not know, we know it. Did you do that? Amen? That is why when you hear that, you know, there is this man, Egugu, be careful. Now express you they go. That is just it. You're entering the express. Your madness is about to enter market place. Hallelujah. It doesn't bother that. That's how it's graduate. That is how it's graduate. So no believer should sponsor, don't sponsor such. You don't sponsor such kind of talk. The Old Testament is gone. No. Because even the writers of the New Testament didn't neglect the Old Testament books. Amen. They called it scripture. Jesus will call the Old Testament book scripture. John 5:39. He says, search the scripture. Then he says, search the scripture. In then you think you have, what does he call scripture? Scripture. What? What does he call scripture? He called Genesis down to Malachi scripture. So he didn't write. I told you this a time ago. I said Jesus didn't formulate any words. The words he used were the words of Moses and the prophets. When you hear church, when you say, I'll build my church, Jesus didn't coin the word church. The word church is of the Hebrew word para. You see that? He didn't coin any word. He said, my disciples. Disciples was a known word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God, so Jesus didn't inform anyone. He used the word of the prophets and Moses. When he used blood, when he saw blood, he wasn't calling blood. What we call blood today was even blood according to the scripture. Okay, follow me. Amen? Mm-hmm. They came to me and said, a man that was his wife when he called. He said, he that made them in the beginning. You're going back to Genesis. That is the thing. Because he restricted his vocabulary to the vocabulary of scriptures. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. To the vocabularies of scriptures. So that means Jesus never talks down Genesis down to Malachi. He says, no, he did. And they are quoting John 5:43. Where he says, do not think I will accuse you before the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, and you whom you trust. Says, you can't now see he's calling Moses the accuser. Oh! I read someone say Jesus called Moses Satan. I read someone say that. And that was amazing. He brought in the word accuser there and then says the same word with what was called Satan in Revelation where he said the accuser of the brethren. He said that is Moses. Can you see? Moses was an accuser. And you're using it to downplay Moses. No, but that's not what Jesus said. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. What did Jesus say in John 5:43? He says, do not think I will accuse you. What is accuse you before the Father. He said there is one who accuses you. Now when he said there is one, but he said Moses in whom you trust. Now when he said Moses, he didn't talk about Moses as a person or his rights to what the next word. Say, if you believe Moses, you would believe him. Say, if you believe not his writing. Do you see that? So first of all, he's not talking about Moses as a person, but Moses is writing. Right? So what did he say when he said, do not think I will accuse you, there's one who accuses you. He said, what he said is, do not think I'm writing a new accusation. Read context. He comments on what Jesus was saying. He said, do not think I'm writing a new accusation against you. He said, there is already an accusation written in Moses. What all accusation? Accusation for unbelief. Verses 39. He said, you stand to see your day, if you have eternal life, you are going to testify of me, but you will not come to me that you would have life. So that means you will come to the truth. That is faith. Jesus. Hallelujah. In other things, the reward, the consequence of unbelief, do not think I write a new one. It is in Moses that you read. It is in Moses that you show. He said, if you believe Moses, you believe me. For he loves concerning me. If you will not believe his words, how would you believe my? So that means Moses' accusations are his accusations. Okay, let me. Moses' justifications are his justifications. So that means Jesus and Moses will rise together. Jesus and Moses will fall together. So if you say, I believe Jesus, I don't believe Moses, you don't believe Jesus at all. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Because the belief in Moses' word is the belief in Jesus. Okay, following that. Glory to God. Glory to God. And in fact, I will see, so we must observe well. How do they use scripture? The right type of the synoptic. We're looking at that. Let's see it again this evening. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. Matthew will say the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Because they're intelligent students of Jesus. They've observed well. So that means he has the Bible right about the story of Jesus. He goes again to the Genesis. Hallelujah. He goes to Genesis. But you don't see. Mark. Look at Mark. Mark 1. Mark 1. And he was without intelligence. Hallelujah. Mark 1. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Alkeomai there. The beginning. Alkeomai. Hallelujah. It is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that means it goes again to Genesis. Then it shows you how to read his writings. He says, as it is written in the prophets. Do you see that? The prophets. And he goes to Malachi and then to Isaiah. That's how to read. Hallelujah. So they are intelligent disciples. They are good disciples who will observe well. Now Matthew is not the direct disciple of Jesus. He's a disciple of Jesus' disciples, Jesus' apostles. Hallelujah. Disciple of Mark. And yet he restricted his use or his explanation of Jesus for the scriptures. Now here's what you see. So that means Mark followed the apostles' doctrine. That means the apostles' doctrine were the doctrines of Christ. Okay, follow that. They were the doctrines of Christ. They will use scriptures the same way Jesus will use scriptures. Watch all their teachings in the book of Acts. They were reading from scriptures. They didn't say, no, forget David. No! No! Even in Matthew 2, when Peter was talking about David, he said that the Lord will not allow his Holy One to see corruption, he said, we know David is dead and gone. But David was not speaking of himself. Did he do that? Hallelujah! That means they didn't talk down those guys. Didn't talk them down. So you shouldn't also. Amen. You must stick to God's word. You must observe well and follow rightly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we have to rush. So we're now talking about what to have their origin within the 39 books, right? Within the 39 books. And then we must also see how they use words. Moses was about to talk about our ministry, right? Our ministry to the Lord, priestly ministry, he will bring the what? The Levites and Aaron with his children, right? The priest. He brings out the priesthood to serve in the physical tabernacle. Because there's the real tabernacle, not made with hands, right? Right? Where's the real tabernacle? John chapter 14. The Father's house. The Father's family. We saw this on Monday, right? The Father's house, the Father's family, the real tabernacle. Hallelujah. Amen. So we say the tabernacle, physical tabernacle, points to what God is doing in the earth, God's presence in the earth, right? God's presence. Heaven and earth in the same place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Used to portray God's family, his beauty, and our role in it. I would say the role of the priest majorly is that of prayer. How? Ensuring that the fire in the altar doesn't go down. Must not go off. You mustn't question. And Paul, looking at that, just the same way. Hear what I said. Paul didn't coin that. No. Paul, looking at that, where they will make sure the fire in the altar doesn't go down, he's seeing it is what the children of Israel would see. Amen. In faith. What would they see? In Exodus 19 verses, God's plan was for them all to be called priests. to receive the fire in the altar is a sign for them to pray. So Paul sees that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, he will say, well, pray forevermore. You see that?
Amen.
Pray without ceasing. Rejoice forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he has seen it. There is interpretation. The interpretation is the priestly ministry, and then they need to pray. So he applied it to them. They have to pray without ceasing. He says to them, quench not the spirit fire. That means that fire there is the fire of the spirit.
Hallelujah. And how would you not quench the spirit fire? Is by praying.
Hallelujah. Now I said something. This was brought to my notice on Monday. Hallelujah. Brought to my notice on Monday that last week Thursday, I said I read from Romans chapter number 8, where I said in verses 14, it says, if you through the Spirit put to death the deeds of your body, say you shall live. Now, I was called to that, and I'd like to take back that. I said, I was told I said, and that sounds strange because it was not in my notes. Amen. But if I was told I said it, then I'm going to take it back. Amen. Amen. So, Romans 8 quickly. It says verse 13, sorry, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deed of the body, ye shall live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if as many as are led by the Spirit of God, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, in context there, he wasn't talking about works. He was talking about God, talking about salvation. Hallelujah. So I said, I was told, I said, we mortify it by faith. No, that is the new verse. Hallelujah. Okay, anyway, that's the new verse. Very vital. It's a new verse. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So there's scripture that's talking about the new birth. You can use it for prayer. Okay, following me. Glory to God.
So let's continue. So that does it mean? No. If you want to deal with that,
there are other scriptures we used to deal with that. Not here. Hallelujah. Now think about that. And woe unto the man who listening up until last week Thursday and doesn't continue to the end of the session. Amen. Glory to God.
So I was told I said it by the wayside. So.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's continue. So we said, we have that duty to ensure that the fire doesn't go down, that the fat is burned in the place of prayer. We said all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began looking at prayer. He said, we said the men that God uses, he what? He causes them to pray.
God will use a man that prays.
Prays.
When a believer doesn't pray, he doesn't trust God. Because not to pray as we've seen is to offer strange fire. You know that? Is to offer strange fire. And strange fire, listen, and strange fire will deal with offering what God hasn't asked you to offer. The flesh.
The flesh will not gain the mastery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you see, we have that duty to tame our flesh. Paul would say, putting his body under subjection. You see that? Under what? Subjection. So we have that duty to tame our flesh. It's not something you should show weakness in. No. It's an instruction you have to obey. And I said to Ross, what you do to instruction is to obey it. Did I say that to Ross? Did I say that to Ross? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Say, but I keep my body and bring it under subjection, least at enemies. When I preach the gospel, myself should be cast away.
Hallelujah. So we have that duty. Hallelujah. Put your body. And that is why also in Galatians, Paul will speak to them about self-control. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, because, and how would you put your body on that chair? It's not exercise. It's not jogging. No. Praying is one of it. Hallelujah.
Praying is keeping a spiritual activity. No one will. We're going to deal with that after this section. After this section. But keeping a spiritual activity. Staying glued to your devotion. Hallelujah. Stay glued to it. Stay glued to your devotion. Pray! Paul said, pray always! Pray always! We're going to deal with that. Pray always!
The believer has, we're going to do that on Sunday. As a round up. Hallelujah. Praying always. The believer has the duty to pray. It's a duty. We have a duty to pray.
Hallelujah. Pray. So then the man God uses it because he says to pray. And there is no such instruction as do not pray. Don't pray that you should be sick. Amen. Even when you sleep, you figure your answer out. It's not a reason to stop praying. So there is no such instruction as do not pray that you should listen to.
Hallelujah. There's no such instruction as you obey. Like do not pray. The Spirit says you should stop praying. How? Whose Spirit? Hallelujah. What does the Spirit say about praying? Pray forevermore. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to show something.
I said this to us during a prayer retreat last year. I'm going to say some of those words again to us today. To remind us of it again. Hallelujah. So the man God used. So we found some of them in scriptures. Daniel was threatened. Daniel was threatened. But yet Daniel believed in prayer. He was threatened with lions, thrown into the lion's den. But no, that was not enough reason to stop him. Amen. It is life and death matter, our God understands. No, not a reason to stop praying. Hallelujah. Because that is my role. I'm a priest.
Hallelujah. So when I'm a priest, you must, I'm a priest. I should pray. Right? Right? I'm a priest. I must keep the fire burning. We have that responsibility. I'm a priest. The fire must be burning. I'm a priest. No strange fire here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No strange fire here.
Glory to God. He said, I'm
battling prayer. Hallelujah. Pray. Get on spiritual activity. Pray. Get on spiritual activity. There are sometimes we live in a world where we're exposed to so many things. Sometimes explicit material, sometimes it holds off. Sometimes you catch on attitude by not hearing what somebody says. By the way, sir, you have carried a wrong attitude, carried a wrong belief system, sometimes carried a wrong conduct. But you know what? You know what? There's a way to offload it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The way to offload it. Diligence. Pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Diligence. Pray. Pray. Pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love what the dear man of God said. He said 90% of the time, right? 90% of the time, the reason for backsliding believers is lack of praying, is lack of a prayer life.
The lack of a prayer life. Some people have excellent public prayer life and zero private prayer life. Reflect on that. Zero private prayer life. That means you don't have a conviction to pray. So your prayer life is built on the public. Your eyes have this move. Amen. Then eyes have this move. Put it. Okay, let me not come at you this night.
But your Christian life is built on public prayer alone. it is not sufficient to carry. It's not sufficient. Hallelujah. Why is it not sufficient? We're going to see. Hallelujah. It's not sufficient to carry you. Rather, the public prayer life or the public prayer is supposed to stir up the private prayer life. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
That's when we catch that fire in the public meeting. When we come together to pray, we catch that fire. Some of us kill that fire before we get home. Kill it for one. Amen. Don't even forget. You drop something in the service. And before you leave, you are eating nothing else. You have switched into the flesh. Switch into the flesh can be as common as you. You just switch it off. Sometimes you just don't judge and then you are switching into talking more. No time to reflect on what you received in the meeting. Amen. Amen. And that is why I stopped. That's why I stopped. That's when you are not praying. So sometimes that's why you stopped it. That's why I have to stop it. Of those people that are not praying, they are going out to go and drink water. That is the wrong thing to do. Amen. You are feeding into a switch. Amen. It's vital. Amen. People can easily just switch into other things. And then the fire you've caught that you're supposed to take home and lighten up that prayer life, that prayer place, you kill before you hear it. You know, you are just praying from church, and then you are just, I'm not saying you really don't want church, you just become one support. You don't want church. That's not enough. But don't meet him, the next day, hey, how far, here, snap your picture. Some people even will put a phone on the wall, and they'll be dancing, and then they came to church. To your life, don't deal with that. Speaking God to your life, praying. See, if you are not praying, it's one of two things. You are not depending on God's power. You are not praying. Sometimes the reason why some people don't pray is because they don't want to shine God's light on those gray areas of their life. There are people who enjoy some bad habit they speak.
Sometimes bad habit of friends.
You know, I said something to you about many times when you pray like that, and you pray, you are the first recipient. And then many times you lose friends just praying. Not because you told them to leave, but they will just stop calling you. And I say, don't get back to them. And because you know, somebody is a bad influence in your life. And you know that, you are just like Jonah. Lord, if I go to Nineveh,
you will forgive them all their atrocities.
You're just like Jonah. Amen. Amen. Did you know? And when I pray, this path will go. So, I still like this guy. I still like this lady. I still like this person. Let me not pray much. Read that? Amen. You want to have darkness in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who can hear me? So you put the man God Jesus. I just spoke to us by God's Spirit. If you are wise, you should know. Because I love my notes. But the man God Jesus, he asked them to pray. I don't know why I was led to talk that way, but I had that impression in my heart called me to speak about it. Hallelujah. Man God Jesus, he causes. He stirred their heart to pray. To prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus. We hear now. Jesus. Okay, Jesus. In John 1, let's see a few things. Jesus in John 1, verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. This is why I didn't go yet to John when I was speaking about the beginning. I mean, how we are opening stuff. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? Talking about the Word. And it said, the same was in the beginning with God. So,
same was in the beginning with God.
Amen. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him is life, life is light of men, and light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Same came to bear witness of the light. And he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That Word that is God became flesh. Hallelujah. So Jesus is God become a man. God a man. The Dabba Yahweh is now a man. Is now tabernacled amongst us. Hallelujah. God became a man. The question we ask, why did God become a man? Why did he become a man? Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth, this is the angel to Joseph. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Amen.
He shall save his people.
The word save there is where we can fit in that Exodus language. That word save is the Exodus language, right? Exodus language, out of Egypt. Save. Where you can fit in the language, light out of darkness. You see that? Out of darkness. Save.
Glory to God.
To save his people. Exodus, God's people. Israel is my firstborn. You see that? Hallelujah. Israel is my son, my firstborn. God's people. Did you see that? His people. He will save his people. Now, stop there. Watch this. Watch this. Now, if this is it, then that means, listen, out of darkness, would that be Genesis 1? That'd be Genesis 1. Yeah? Genesis 1, verses 2. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was going so deep, and God moved over the surface of the water, and God said, I am light. Right? Let there be light. I am light. And there was light. Did you see that? God says, I am light. That is deliverance. Light. Out of darkness. Do you see that? Deliverance. He came to see. Showing you that he's the God in Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is the Genesis light. He is the Genesis light. In John 8 verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Now, you use that word false there, when you have the word all in the Hebrew. False in the Greek. All in the Hebrew. When you have it in Genesis 2, 1 verse 3. Let there be light. Now, that's the word false. Is a light. He's not talking about, when he talks about light there, he uses it in comparison with that. I'm the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Where's the light of life? Genesis 1, 2. Did you see that? Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. He has said it also in John chapter 1. He says it's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. So he calls that light. So that light in Genesis, in John 8, is supernatural light. I'm the light of the world. He's not saying the sun, moon, or star. No. He says he is the light of the world. So it's a supernatural light. Amen? Amen. He is the light of the world. And that is the light for deliverance in Genesis. The light of deliverance. The light of salvation. Who are following me? Who are following me? Glory to God. The light of salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is the Genesis 1 promise. I am light. God is saying, I will be light. When you know the word I am, there means I am, I will be. Right? Right? When he says, I am light, God is saying it, and I promise you, Lord, I will be light. Hallelujah. I will be light that will shine in darkness. Absolute light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, who? That light in darkness now says, let's make man in our image, in that light. So God's plan is that light that will light men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, John says that is the light. I mean, his name is light. Light, and the light is the light of men. Watch it. In him is light. Now, when you talk about light, it is. That word light it is. That doesn't have the word Zoe or Zoe. No problem. But he is light then. And that light goes back again. It's a Genesis language. The light in the garden. Is that? Remember, the garden is God's presence. Hallelujah. The garden is God's presence. So what you have in God's presence? God's light. God's reign. Hallelujah. So he said, in him is life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this life is the light of men. Hallelujah. Praise God. In him is life. The Genesis 2 life. The Genesis 3 life. Hallelujah. John 10:10. John 10 verse 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and to destroy. There is a contrast. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and to destroy. Now that I am come. Hallelujah. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Is that Genesis 3 life? Is that the life in the garden? Hallelujah! Amen! So, it's come that we have life.
That is salvation. Okay, follow me. That is salvation.
Light. The light of men. Hallelujah. Chapter 9, verse 4, John 9, 4. So, we can see that God's facts in Genesis is now being fulfilled by who?
By Jesus, right?
He's bringing it to pass.
Who are following me?
He's bringing it to pass.
God's plan is now being fulfilled
in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in John 9, 4, here's what it says. Say, I must walk the walk of he that sent me while it is day. You see that? The night cometh when no man can walk. Say, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Hallelujah. You see that? Glory to God.
So, watch it. So what is the walk of he that has sent me to light?
Genesis.
Oh, you can see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lights. Lights. So, we can say, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Right? Is that the will of the Father? To bring the will of the Father to pass.
He came to bring the will of the Father to pass. Look at John 14.
We are here on Saturday, on Monday. I keep calling yesterday Monday and today Tuesday. Just because of the way the week went. John 14. Are you there? Verse 10. It says, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work.
Hallelujah. So Jesus was about the Father's work. Hope you are following me. Jesus was about the Father's work.
He was about the Father's work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He was about the Father's work. And in Matthew 12, what did he do? He unites us. Look at Matthew 12. He unites us in the Father's work. In the new birth. So, in the new birth, we are united in the Father's work. Matthew 12. Are you there? They came one time asking him, your mother is here to see you. Then his mom was not yet his disciple.
The mom said that became his disciple. Right?
Hallelujah. Well, here's what he said, Matthew 12, sorry. Matthew 12, verses 49. Why did I put 49 and 40? Just a mistake. 49. And he stretched forth his hands and told his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Did you see that? My mother and my brethren. For whoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. What is the will of his Father?
Faithing. Right? It starts from faithing.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the will of his Father starts by believing in him. Why? John 14. He said, believe.
Believe in the Lord, believe also in me. Is that? So it starts from there.
So, hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Well, he situates it here to the will of my Father. So he unites us in the new birth, right? In the works of his Father. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. In John 14, 6. John 14, verse 16. That means in the new birth. Hallelujah.
We are consumed in the Father's will in the earth, right? Right? It's a new birth, the Father's will. Okay, so that means once faith in the Lord, we are in the Father's will, right?
So,
what brings us into the Father's will?
Faith in the Lord. And in that will, is there works? Is that the Father's works too? Okay, thank you. So that means we understand what I've been saying in Colossae. Okay, John 14, verses 16. He says, "And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Watch that. Another comforter. That was Allah's power here. That he might abide. Watch that word. Abide with you forever. Hallelujah. He then calls him even the Spirit of Truth. Now we say that is the word reality there. The Spirit of this reality of what? My Father's house. We said all that on Saturday, on Monday, right? The Spirit of this reality. Do the work of God, receive never seen nor know him. But ye know him, but dwells with you and shall be in you. Right? I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So if Jesus is saying he will come to us, so that means, remember, Jesus is about his Father's will. Right? So that means the hour sparkles us in us. Okay, before we get there, let's see something. Look at verse 21. Verse 23, and Jesus said, and said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode in him." Now, who is coming in verse 16? The Spirit. "I will come to you." He answered, "The Father and me will come to you." That means the Spirit, yeah, is the union of the Father and the Son. In the believer. So the union is the... I mean, the Spirit is the union of the Son, or the Father and the Son, in the believer. We said that. Hallelujah. So that means, if Jesus is saying in verses 10, in verses 10, that... is about his Father's will, right? Right? Is about his Father's will. If he said that in, a minute again, where did I read that just now? Sorry. In John 9, verse 4, that I must walk the walk of he has sent me by thee. So he that sent him is the Father. Right? Right? Is it the Father? Is it the Father? Yes, sir. Answer me well. I want to show you that in John 8. Is it right? So, he that sent him is the Father. And what is the Father? A Father who has been heaven. Right? Heaven is where he was referring to himself. Right? Right? The Father is in him. My Father who dwells in me, who is the world. Is that? The Father who dwells in me. So the Father is in him. Right? That means the Father in him, in Christ, right? He's carrying out his work through him. Right? Right? Hope you're following me. Now, in the new birth, the Father dwells in us with the Son by his Spirit. Can you see that? That means if the Father dwells in us by the Spirit, that means we too will be found in the work of the Father, in the earth, just like Jesus. So we can say the ministry of God in Christ Jesus is now being carried out by Jesus through us in the new birth. And that is why we have the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus is carrying out his ministry in the earth through us. You see that? Amen. So the Holy Ghost, which is the union of the Father and the Son and the believer, is God indwelling us so that he can carry out his tasks also in the earth through us. Okay, following. Therefore, Jesus becomes a model for a man who is indwelt by the Spirit carrying out God's tasks in the earth. He becomes that model for us in scriptures. He's God carrying out his own tasks in the earth, yet as God, he becomes for us a model of how we should live our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, we can say, we ought to follow Jesus' attitude. And I'm saying it generally, because we'll find the same attitude that we'll see on Sunday in the apostles. Amen. Amen. So you see the apostles too will model Christ, or let me put it like this, we'll see the apostles will also, they will follow Christ's model. They will follow Christ's model of the man who is about God's will.
Amen.
There is a model that Jesus has laid for us.
Hallelujah.
It's a model of the man who is about God's will. Who is serious about God's will.
So like I said,
when you say, use me Lord, don't say that one word. It's not in song though. God will use you because you stand the song. To follow Jesus' attitude in how he handled the Father's will. Luke 3. Let's see someone who is about the Father's will. Let's see our master, our model. Hallelujah. Our masterio. Yeah. Our Father. Our Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. He's God. He's Lord. And he models for us how he wants us to walk in the earth. Luke 3:23. See, and Luke 3:21. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus being baptized and praying,
was going to be baptized.
He was praying.
He was praying. Hallelujah. He was just praying. He was going to be baptized. No, so I didn't say, do not water. Amen.
Woo!
John will baptize me. But Jesus was praying. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't follow orders. Orders like the dancing. The day of Jubilee. Woo! Woo! And he was just praying. He was praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. So there is no normal cleansing. No, Jesus didn't take it that way. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 1:35. We'll get back to Luke shortly. Mark 1:35. I think you guys set me up with this thing. Time is for 8 o'clock to dim. Mark 1:35. It says, and in the morning, rising up great a while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed.
Early in the morning, before they prayed. This is like 1 a.m. just stood up. Let the 11 p.m. just stood up. Went to a solitary place, a quiet place, and he prayed all night. You see that? He prayed all night. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He prayed all night. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when they found him, he said, all men seek the repentance. He said, when he later showed up, right? When he showed up in verse 37, they said to him, we are looking for you. And he said to them, let's go to the next town that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth.
You see that?
For therefore came I forth. So that means he came to preach.
Hallelujah. Preach. And in preaching, you read that together with Luke 4:18.
Wow, hallelujah.
There came and said, this is why I came. So let's go and preach.
You see that?
So that means he's preaching ministry.
Put it like this.
Not just preaching ministry. His evangelistic ministry.
We are following him because we are all evangelists.
His preaching, his evangelistic ministry, his evangelism life was built on prayer.
You see that?
Prayer. It was built on
it. You see that?
It was built on prayer.
There's something else that we cannot say, you know what I thought before. You know what I mean? Is it not?
No. Amen. Don't deceive yourself.
Glory to God.
I was coming up this afternoon. I was sitting in the office, so I was trying to scribble some things into my notes to write and come to church. We're not sitting okay, you know, we're going to pray. You know, the moment I started coming up here, I started praying. Immediately, Lord, Lord, speak to us. I'm not so, it's not my world. Not because I know it. Because there is no such thing that he did not reach up. Have you? Put it. Not so. Amen. 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 Pastor, leader, brother, sister, your preaching life, right, is built on prayer. You don't pray more than he preached. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. He prayed more. Okay, anyway. Prayer is relying on God's power. We'll see all that. It's relying on God's power. If not, what you have is sweet mouth. If we are dealing with heart of men, we are dealing with spiritual wickedness in the high places. What do you mean? When you are talking to an unbeliever, you are dealing with spiritual wickedness. What do you mean? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't overtrust yourself. Trust in God's power. You know what I mean? Nobody says, don't worry, I will use because you don't have to speak English. No, it will fail you. It is spiritual. Amen? So I trust the power of God. Trust the power of God. So it's not about God praying. Let's see. Hallelujah. Let's see it in the prayer. Let it come out in your prayer.
Glory to God. Luke 4:42. Luke 4:42. I'm going to be a bit faster now. Maybe we'll just wrap up everything on Saturday. Luke 4:42. That is on Sunday I will skip a whole lot of details we just get into. But we have a whole lot to look at. Luke 4:42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And people sought him and came unto him and stayed with him that he should not depart from them. No. What am I reading here? Sorry, chapter 5. What? Have you heard that before? Chapter 5 verse 16, John. Amen. Amen. So, verse 15. Say, but which more went his fame abroad? Right? And great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed by him. So, ministry was making sense. You know, sometimes that thing can enter some people's head. Hallelujah. When you look at it, you see that they really are seeing more members. They're not doing global studies.
And say, oh, we're reaching the whole world. We're reaching the whole world. Our guy is carrying laptop. Last year, we connected to carrying laptop that wasn't connected. I was connected to Akumba people already connected. we are live in Australia. It's not Australia. We are the one who is making sense. Woo! Yeah. I didn't call anybody's name. Anything you are thinking in your head, it shows your own belief.
I didn't call anybody's name. But some people know the person. If I didn't call the person's name. Amen. Laptops. And yet, none will connect. Oh, our brothers of buyers are connected, sir. Other side will give you the signal.
We did not hear you speak. How come? He has brothers to buy us and hope you're here. Glory to God.
Come, come, they're ready to die. Ministry is not making sense for Jesus. You know what I mean? Making sense. Fame everywhere. People are talking about Jesus, Jesus, healer, Jesus. He didn't start saying, let me start giving tweets. Let me releasing tweets. Giving what? No! The Bible says in verse 16, I will go. We'll pick up that on Sunday. And he withdrew himself. Hallelujah. Into the wilderness and prayed. Because times like these are times where you can literally give into the flesh. Praise of man. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. When the praise of man gets into you, that you lose yourself in this, you are impressed. To unforbid impressionable, you have to pray. Hallelujah. That means prayer is not because ministry, you want ministry to be better, so you pray. No. If a ministry get better, and pray God, keep praying. Is that? Amen? Okay, follow me. So prayer is the constant for the believer. Jesus exhibited that. We're going to see further by Sunday. Hallelujah. We'll see further. Jesus and then the apostles, and us today. Hallelujah. And I trust the Lord will have time to pray on Sunday. We'll pray and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to pray. How of you have that witness in your spirit that God wants us to pray more at the church? Then how of you have that witness in your spirit? And is that leading for us to pray at the church? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. You've had that witness in your spirit in the past few days. That there's just that leading to pray. Hallelujah. And you know, let me tell you something. They've been now pointing to some things in our hearts. That, you know, when we started this series, and I started saying some things, there were some things in that story that you struggled with, you know, personally. I'm not asking, I don't want to hear you this year. I don't want to hear this. But you know, you just found out that, oh, I can pray away this thing. Hallelujah. Yeah, you've got that witness in your heart. I don't mean to raise your hand. But you've got that witness in your heart. And we know we can just pray and then it will go away. Yeah. 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 We can shine forth God's light, God's fire on it. Hallelujah. And we're trusting that we'll be fine. Glory to God. Amen. We can trust God that way. We can trust God that way. Hallelujah. Amen. Learn something this evening. We'll continue on Sunday. Let's go on our feet and thank the Lord.